Precious Father, as we bow before you this evening, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, O God, for what you have given us in your Son. We pray that by your Holy Spirit we will receive, we will realize, and most importantly, we will express, O God, that which flows in the name of Jesus, that which is of his Spirit, Lord, that which has been given to us as an inheritance and as a possession, that which we are called, O God, to receive, to realize, so that we will be enabled to do all things, Father, through Christ who strengthens us. May his Spirit clothe us. May his Spirit enable us. May his Spirit become the defining reality, O God, of the state of our being. Every function in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. May we be fully defined in the Spirit of Christ. And may we do all things as his Spirit is worked into us, so that every reality will be manifested in the name of Jesus. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the subject of our prophetic potentials. And I want to bring to you something that is fundamental to what is prophetic. All right, so let's start with the book of Genesis, chapter 41. Genesis, chapter 41, verse 37. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" He's talking about Joseph here. And he says, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. Since God has informed you, and God has informed Joseph through this discerning spirit that God has given him, this divine spirit that God has given him. And because Joseph had this divine spirit, there was no one so discerning as wise as him." Let's move to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, from verse 10. "The queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, 'O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel." A spirit of the holy gods. That's how the pagan queen described what Daniel had. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. "Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom." And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Now, all that we have read is a prophetic foreshadowing of what God has bequeathed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So this spirit, this divine spirit, this extraordinary spirit is defined in Jesus Christ. It is defined in Jesus Christ and it is given to us so that we may be the head and not the tail, so that we will be above and not beneath. this extraordinary spirit. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. There are two realities here. The Spirit of Christ here represents the Holy Spirit, but it also represents the Spirit of Christ himself. That life-giving spirit that God has defined in the Christ. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about that because that life-giving spirit is meant to be given to us so that we will realize all things in the excellence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 19, and although contextually Paul is talking about something else, there is something that he mentions here that is very important to us. In the last line of verse 19, he mentions the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not the Holy Spirit. This is the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that life-giving Spirit. And he talks of it as being provision. In the New King James Bible, it is talked of as being supply. That you will be supplied with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants us to realize. Because everything that makes us sons of God is defined in this Spirit of Jesus Christ. This Spirit of Jesus Christ is the genetic blueprint of the Spirit of excellence that God has given us. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is also called the Spirit of wisdom. It is called the Spirit of understanding. It is called the Spirit of knowledge. It is called the Spirit of strength. It is called the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It is called the Spirit of counsel. It is called the Spirit of humility. It is called the Spirit of contriteness. It is called the Spirit of adoption. It is called the Spirit of faith. True faith, perfect faith, indestructible faith. In John 6:63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life, that is the Holy Spirit. My words, my rhema to you are spirit and life. So every word in the scriptures, when it's brought in the testimony of Jesus, when it's understood in the testimony of Jesus, when it is received in the testimony of Jesus, it has the potential of bringing into us something of the Spirit of Christ. And the realities represented in this book are communicated to us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that we can put on Christ, so that we can be clothed with Christ, so that every functional reality within us can be clothed with Christ and be fully enabled through Christ, so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is what will enable us to become sons of God. This is what will enable us to become saints of the Most High God. This is what will enable us to become a royal priesthood. This is what will enable us to become kings who can hold the authority that God has invested in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what will enable us to become a prophetic people, the oracles of God. So this spiritual genetic blueprint that God has given us, this extraordinary spirit that was foreshadowed in Joseph, foreshadowed in Daniel, foreshadowed in Moses in different forms, in different expressions, foreshadowed in Solomon, foreshadowed in David, foreshadowed in Samson with tremendous strength, foreshadowed in Elijah, foreshadowed in Elisha, foreshadowed in Isaiah, foreshadowed in Jeremiah. God is manifesting in a wholesome blueprint that is simply described as the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is the genetics, spiritual genetic blueprint of our prophetic potential. And we need to understand that everything that God brings into our life has to be described in this spirit. It has to be engineered in this spirit. It has to be developed in this spirit. It has to be expressed in this spirit. And unless it is expressed in this spirit, we will never see what God has for the church of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So what is Christ's gift? Christ's gift is defined in His Spirit. Now the gift can take many different forms. If you take words like wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, words like counsel, words like strength, words like faith, you understand that those words are infinite. In God, they are infinite. But the communication of what is in God is always made manifest in us in the Spirit of Christ. It is only in that spiritual blueprint that is tied to the name of Jesus that we can realize what God is talking about in the Scriptures. For example, to function by the Holy Spirit, that functionality, that functional capacity to do all things by the Holy Spirit is entirely tied to the Spirit of Christ. It is not tied to the human being. To learn how to function by the Holy Spirit is something that you have to receive and realize and develop in the Spirit of Christ, in the life of Christ. Because Jesus Christ functioned perfectly by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had a perfect relationship with God the Father. So if you and I are going to obey God, that obedience is defined in the Spirit of Christ. It is not defined in what you and I can do in and of ourselves. It is defined in what Jesus has realized and proclaimed for us through the cross. The Spirit of Christ has been put to test through the cross. And the Spirit of Christ has been invested with the surpassing greatness of the power of God. Now all this is in the Scriptures. So the word of the cross is the power of God. Christ crucified is the power of God. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23. Christ crucified is the power of God. So invested in the Spirit of Christ is the power of God. Now how is that power going to be released? It's going to be released through words like wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And you begin to see that the power that is inherent to the Spirit of Christ has humongous potentials. That when God gives you a calling in Christ, when God gives you a revelation of Jesus Christ, He's opening to you in Jesus Christ something of humongous proportions. All that He has planned for you is entirely defined in that Spirit of Christ. And we are called to receive of that Spirit. That Spirit will manifest the light, the enlightenment that will enable us to become functioning members of the body of Christ. He is the head. We are members of His body. How are we tied to Him? We are tied to Him through His Spirit. We are members of His body because we are blueprinted in His Spirit. He is the true man, and we discover the reality of being true to God or true before God through His Spirit. So everything in your life is defined in the Spirit of Christ. You and I have to develop the capacity to do all things through the Spirit of Christ, through the life of Christ. And that is something that the Holy Spirit is charged with bringing forth in your life and my life. So when we pray, When we pray, asking God to do something in our life, we must always understand that what God does with us is entirely defined in the Spirit of Christ. That unless we ask God to release that Spirit within us, we are not going to realize what God can do with us. It is not just a question of having an anointing working through us. It is understanding that that anointing is entirely defined in Christ. And in Christ, the name of Jesus is given to us. Without the Spirit of Christ, the name of Jesus means nothing. You remember Matthew 7, all those guys who said, "We did many miracles in your name, we prophesied in your name, we drove out demons in your name." And then Jesus says, "I never knew you." What was missing? That everything they did was just simply a result of the gift and the anointing that was operating in their lives. The anointing was not tied to the Lord Himself. There was no intimacy. The purpose of the Spirit of Christ is to define all things to us as a link with the Lord. So that we will understand that as we develop giftings, as we develop a gift mix, as we develop the reality of the anointings that God has given us, there must be a consciousness within us that it's all tied to Christ crucified. It is all tied to what we have received in the merits of the Lamb. So that tie is defined in the Spirit of Christ. What is it that ties you to your parents? There is that genetic blueprint that ties you to your parents. We have a new birth. What happened in the new birth? We have been birthed in Christ. Christ has been birthed in us. Christ has been birthed in us. The seed of Christ has been planted in us. The seed of Christ is the genetic blueprint that God has given us. Why has He given us this word? He has given us this word so that we will understand this word through the testimony of Jesus. Why is it important to understand the word through the testimony of Jesus? Because if you understand the word through the testimony of Jesus, then this word will be explained to you by the Holy Spirit through the Spirit and life of Jesus. Now, when the word is explained to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus, you receive it as a revelation. You receive it as light received. Jesus is the light of the world. He said, "He who follows me will have the light of life." That light is blueprinted in this spirit dimension that is referred to as the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So if God wants to impart to you the wisdom that is in God, He's going to impart to you the wisdom that is of God only in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come simply as wisdom to you. If you receive that supernatural wisdom like Daniel and Joseph and Moses were receiving and functioning in it, that wisdom is entirely blueprinted to the Spirit of Christ. So in 1 Peter we found that the prophets who communed with God were actually functioning in the Spirit of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Although it was not built into them, they were able to function in it at moments in time. The Spirit of the Lord filled them and He released the reality of the Spirit of Christ, and they were able to talk with God. They were able to receive the Word of God. They were able to discuss things with God. They were able to learn from God. They were able to understand from God. They were able to communicate with God. But at the heart of it was this reality called the Spirit of Christ. So Peter says, the prophets of old, seeking to know what this salvation will bring to us, communed with the Spirit of Christ from their inward parts. The Holy Spirit came upon them and He released into them that Spirit of Christ that enabled them to communicate with God. Now this was a foreshadowing of what is to become an online reality within you and me. So Galatians 4:19, Paul writes, "I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Until Christ is formed in you, you really don't have what God has for you. Christ has to be formed in you. The Spirit of Christ has to be developed inside of you. It has to be developed into every functional facet of your state of being. So that one day you will say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does Christ strengthen you? Through His Spirit. What is the purpose of strengthening you with His Spirit? So that you can do all things. Absolutely everything. And if you do absolutely everything through Christ who has strengthened you, then you will know you are living by Christ and you're not just simply living by an anointing. Lucifer thought he was just living by his anointings. Lucifer thought he had giftings that were his to use any way they wanted, any way he wanted. He didn't understand that even in him, it was the Spirit of Christ that was given to him. He didn't understand that. Probably he didn't want to understand that. So he came to the point and he said, I can make myself like the Most High God. A total fallacy. So we read in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 that each one of us has received a measure of Christ's gift. Christ's gift. In Christ, God has blueprinted the first fruits of the creation of God. In Christ Jesus, God has blueprinted the sons of God. In Christ Jesus, God has defined a spiritual reality that is the spirit of adoption, that enables us to know that God is Abba Father. So if you in your heart have a reality of God as your Father, that is because you have it in the Spirit of Christ. It is not because of mere revelation. It is a revelation that has been received in the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me? It is very important for us to understand how important this spiritual blueprint is. Because this spiritual blueprint is the basis of every function you will develop in God. It is the blueprint of everything that you will do before God. So you will do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That is the purpose. Through Christ who strengthens you. Let's turn to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Why didn't he write the fullness of Jesus there? Because the fullness has to be entirely blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ. Otherwise, you cannot come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Otherwise, you can never become a mature man. You cannot realize the knowledge of the Son of Man, or the Son of God rather, unless you are receiving that knowledge form in the Spirit of Christ. That's what he's trying to say. Without Christ strengthening you, you cannot realize that knowledge form. What are we leading to? We're leading to say how important it is for us to understand the preeminence of Christ. When you use your giftings, especially when you use the gift of tongues, you must understand that tongues are fundamentally designed to open the mystery of Christ. And it is called the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is at the heart of the mysteries of God. Every facet of the mysteries of God, and the Bible does talk about us becoming stewards of the mysteries of God. Every facet of the stewardship of the mysteries of God is blueprinted in the mystery of Christ. Why not the mystery of Jesus? Why is it called the mystery of Christ? Because the mystery, the revelation, is in the Spirit of Christ. It is a supernatural revelation. So if you begin to see things, if you begin to understand things, if you begin to realize things, if you're enabled to do something, in the name of Jesus, it is always an enabling that is of the Spirit of Christ. All right, look at verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Why didn't he say even Jesus? Why does he use the word Christ? Because it is a spiritual blueprint that he's talking about. You have to grow spirit upon spirit in Christ. It has to be the Spirit of Christ. All spiritual growth is defined in the Spirit of Christ. If it is some other spirit, it is going to be Antichrist. Hello. I will repeat it. If it is any other kind of spirit, it is unacceptable to God. Any other replacement of the Spirit of Christ is Antichrist. That's why the fundamental form of rebellion is Antichrist. And the spirit of the Antichrist is very much alive in the Christian church. We have found many substitutes for Christ, probably not understanding how important it is for us to be built out of the Spirit of Christ, how important it is for our giftings to be defined in the Spirit of Christ. How important it is for our anointings to be entirely blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ. What do I mean by that? That means as you function in the anointings, those anointings must be perfected and completed in the Spirit of Christ and not simply as a function. So you can write in many different kinds of spirits. But God wants you to write in the Spirit of Christ. God wants you to speak with the Spirit of Christ. God doesn't want you to speak in any other kind of spirit. When God says good, that word good is tied to the Spirit of Christ. It is not tied to the word good. It is the word, it is the Spirit of Christ that gives definition to the word good. If you do not accept the Spirit of Christ, then there is nothing like something called good. It is a fallacy. That's why he says that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He there is Christ. That he might fill all things. How is he going to fill all things? Through his Spirit. His Spirit is going to be used to define all things in relation to God. So if you look at Jesus Christ and you compare him with Lucifer, you will see fundamentally two different functional realities. Lucifer said, I can do this and I can do that. I will raise my throne above the stars of heaven. I will make myself like the Most High God. You find that in Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12 onwards, okay? But you come to Jesus Christ in John chapter 5 verse 19. Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself except that which I see my Father doing. Totally different. You come to John chapter 5 verse 30. Jesus says, I can do nothing of my own initiative. You look at Lucifer, he said, everything I can do. I can even make myself like the Most High God. I will sit on my throne. Different spirit. Spirit of Christ, entirely subject to God. So if you and I are going to do something in subjection to God, then it has to come out of the Spirit of Christ. It cannot come out of the good intentions of our heart. We can't do it. We are not like that. So if you look, for instance, at the testimony of Daniel, he bows down before God. He glorifies God. He says, oh God, you are so wonderful. Everything I have received from you. Why? Because that is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ has always been there. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is eternal in nature. That's why you go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. It says that Christ has been crucified, or the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. Why was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth? Because the foundations of the earth in the heart of God were laid through the Spirit of Christ. Were laid through the Spirit of Christ. Let's look at Colossians. Verse 15, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And it says here that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means he's the blueprint of all creation. The perfect function of the creation was blueprinted in Jesus Christ. From when? From before the creation was manifested. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. By him and for him. What does that mean? That everything we realize as we grow as Christians, it has ultimately to be by him. And it has to be manifested for him, for it to be truth, for it to be sustainable before God, for it to be acceptable before God. Because God will not accept anything else except that which is blueprinted in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way. No man comes unto the Father except by me. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. You cannot impress God with what you have done. The question is whether what you have done has been blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ. That's all. It is not going to be judged by any other measure. It's not going to be judged by any other measure. All things have been created by him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things. Before anything has any position in the abiding, it must be manifested in him. And he is Christ Jesus, Messiah. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Only in him will things make sense in an abiding, eternal sense. There have been many ages past that have gone by. And in those ages past, there has been disaster after disaster after disaster in many forms. There were ages before Adam and Eve were created. For example, when Lucifer fell, if you read Isaiah chapter 14 very carefully, you will find that there were nations that he corrupted. Now, Lucifer fell long before Adam and Eve were created. And there were nations there that fell. He corrupted those nations. We don't know those in what form it happened. But in the ages past, there has been a fundamental problem. God has been trying to communicate a lesson to the creation. If you want to see something sustainable, something that is going to grow, something that is going to be built on happiness and fulfillment and joy and purpose, if you're going to see something grow from eternity to eternity, if you're going to see something grow on a sustainable basis, it has to be established in the spirit of my Son, because I will accept nothing else. Anything else I will destroy. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, we see the Holy Spirit hovering over a mess. What happened between verse 1 and verse 2? An unknown part of history. Unknown to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So why was the earth formless? Something had happened. Something of explosive proportions. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So if we are going to build anything as the church of Jesus Christ, this is our task. Our task is to learn how to build all things in Christ. Because that is what is going to stand the test of time. If we look at the history of the church, today we are able to receive revelation at a certain level because our forefathers went through a lot of things to realize the truth. There were many distortions to the truth in the history of the church, in the history of the Jewish nation. Many, many distortions of the truth. But the truth has survived. The truth has been blueprinted. The truth has been manifested, measure upon measure. And today we are very fortunate that we are able to hear so many things that generations past could not hear, neither could they understand. God is persevering, but what is he persevering with? He's persevering with manifesting this genetic blueprint of truth manifested in the Spirit of Christ within the human heart. That reality of revelation knowledge that can be handed from generation to generation. You have a job. Your job is to realize the truth and to communicate the truth in the measure in which you have received it. There is something very unique that God has invested in your life. The measure of your life is in the Spirit of Christ. The measure of your life and my life in the vastness of the created universe, in the vastness of eternity, your significance before God is entirely in the Spirit of Christ. It is not in anything else. When we walk by the Holy Spirit, it has to be in the Spirit of Christ. It cannot be by mere experience. It cannot be by a mere anointing. That anointing has to be tied to Christ, preeminent in our hearts. It has to be tied to Christ as reigning King in our lives. Otherwise, it has got no meaning. Just being anointed means nothing. Lucifer has already shown that already. Just being gifted means nothing. Just standing in an office and saying, I'm an apostle, means nothing. It is whether that apostolic anointing is manifested and blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ, in the excellence of the knowledge of Him. He must be before all things, and all things must hold together in Him. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Otherwise, everything we do will be denominated in space and time, and it will pass away. It will have no capacity to sustain. To put it in simple terms, it will die. So Elijah received an anointing. Elisha received a double portion of the anointing. The anointing was so powerful that when a dead man was put in the grave of Elisha, he rose from the dead. The question is, so what? What happened after that? Nothing happened after that, guys. Why? Because it was unsustainable. But in Christ Jesus, God has brought forth that spirit that is sustainable. It is a life-giving spirit. And the word life there is Zoe life. It is eternal life. It is indestructible life. It is indestructible. It is indestructible because it is tied to the Spirit of Christ. It is indestructible because it stands before God as being holy unto Him. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, His spirit was judged and found to be the spirit of holiness. Holiness unto God. And on that basis, His spirit became the blueprint of a new creation. On that basis of His spirit, the victory of the cross was defined spiritually as a genetic blueprint, spiritual genetic blueprint, so that you and I could rise out and become sons of God. So the principal work of the Holy Spirit is to bring forth every form of experience, every form of function out of the human being through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There is no meaning to just doing a miracle, guys, unless we have communicated that miracle in the Spirit of Christ. There is no purpose to me preaching to you unless I communicate something of the Spirit of Christ to you. There is no purpose to you hearing this message if you are not prepared to realize all things by the Spirit in Jesus Christ. If you do not understand that what God brings into your heart, you have to ask God to define it in the Spirit of Christ. Define it and build it in the Spirit of Christ, so that in my conscious, in my subconscious, in my unconscious, Jesus Christ will be preeminent. That He is what? He is the person who will rule over me. He is the one who will determine every form of my thoughts and my actions, my behavior patterns, my psychology, the psychology of my being. That everything that makes me tick as a person will come out of His Spirit. Because if it does not come out of His Spirit, it's not going to work, guys. That's the story of our lives, isn't it? We all know so many things that don't work in our lives anyway, isn't it? I hope you know that. Otherwise, your story will be a very tragic story if you don't know that. There are hundreds of millions of human beings who do not know that. Even if you told them, they will probably get angry with you. So what is it that can rectify what is wrong? Something of Christ has to be birthed. The answer is not merely praying. The answer is praying in the Spirit of Christ. That the whole act of prayer is defined in His Spirit. It is enabled through His Spirit. That the whole act of learning is built out of His Spirit. That the operation of the gift of faith is entirely defined and blueprinted in His Spirit. What's the point of thinking of such a great faith? Oh, I have such great faith that I can make myself like God. That is stupidity. Is it great faith? Yes. Make believe great faith. It is an illusion. It is the thought process of a donkey who thought he was something that he was not. So when he was thrown out of heaven, he and one third of the angels fell at the speed of lightning. Only then did he realize how far he was from what he thought he was. It was all an illusion. Everything he built. One third of the angels made an objective decision to choose Lucifer over God. We are charged with bringing forth all things as a revelation of the mystery of Christ. Why is it called the mystery of Christ? Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25 onwards. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery. So the preaching of the word of God is a mystery. He calls it the mystery, which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints. How has it been manifested to His saints? Through Christ, through His Spirit. To whom, verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. You see, the mystery carries with it the riches of the glory. There is a glory and there is a wealth tied to this mystery. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this mystery? This mystery is simply described as Christ in you. And if Christ in you can generate a hope, then you will realize the glory that is tied to this mystery. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. Can you see that? That is at the heart of the Christian faith. So when you battle with the weakness, it is not merely trying to get out of the weakness. It is realizing the answer to that weakness through Christ who strengthens you. Do you understand? The answer is Christ who strengthens you. Not merely by force of will trying to do the right thing. That is not what God is looking for. He's not looking for the force of your will. He's looking for the blueprint of Jesus Christ to be developed in place of that weakness. So that weakness is rectified. It is rectified from its very foundations. It is rectified with a totally different reality that is entirely in Christ. It is of Him. It is of His Spirit. Do you understand that? Verse 28. And we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Why didn't He say in Jesus? Because without that, the right spirit, the name of Jesus cannot come alive in you. So those guys in Matthew chapter 7, in your name we said, we did many things, but it had no meaning. Because it was not blueprinted in Christ. It was blueprinted in their ambitions. It was blueprinted in their visions of their great ministries. It was not blueprinted in Christ. And so Jesus said, "Go away from me, you who practice lawlessness, for I know you not. I know you not because you are not genetically tied to me. You are not my offspring. You are not of my body. You are of something else. You are of a different spirit. I gave you myself, but you didn't want me. You merely wanted my giftings and my anointings. You were not interested in me. I gave myself to you through the cross, but you didn't want me. You just wanted what you could grab from me." You only wanted what you could take from me. And therefore, I do not know you. There's nothing in common between you and me. Now, functionally, from an outward perspective, these guys did some amazing stuff. You and I would have looked at them and said, "Brother, you are such an anointed man of God." It was a fallacy. Verse 28, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Only in Christ can we be made complete. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. Praise the Lord. Now the Greek word for power there is energia. It is not dunamis. It is energia, which mightily works within me, energio. So what is he talking about? He's talking about an energized reality that comes out of the Spirit of Christ. Is Christ working in you? Is your faith being built out of Christ? Are you being saved by Him? Or are you being saved by your efforts? When you were born again, how many hours did you pray, brother? How many days did you fast? Today, how do you justify yourself before God? Through Christ who strengthens you? Or through how many hours you pray and how many days you fast? I'm not saying don't fast and I'm not saying you don't pray. But I'm saying, what do you pray by? What do you fast by? What is the intent and desire of your fasting? What are you asking from God? The enabling to do what? How? Through whom? You know, sometimes we talk about good character. That word good character has got no meaning in the context of man, because none of us has a good character. Good character is entirely blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ. Nobody else has a good character. I don't have it. You don't have it. Let's not pretend we have it. We all have our peculiar idiosyncrasies, but let's not pretend that we are good people. We are not. Jesus called us, you being evil. So that which is good comes out of the Spirit of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is the basis of the mystery being revealed. Listen, set your hope on God. Set your hope on God that He will receive, He will open the mystery of Christ within you and develop the revelation of Christ within you so that you will be enabled to do all things in Christ. This is the Christian life. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My power is perfected in your weakness, Jesus tells Paul in the book of Corinthians. My power is perfected in your weakness. I'm allowing you to travail with your weaknesses so that you will always remember that strength comes from me. That you will always remember that you need me. That you will not forget. That you will not be carried away by the power that is manifesting through your ministry. By the profoundness of your message. By the way people admire you. But you will always understand that I am your strength, that you are dependent on me, that everything has to be established in me for it to really make sense. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In the New King James it is written, you have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. You have clothed yourself with Christ. That is the key. You see, when you pray for yourself, when you develop a function by the Spirit, that function must be clothed with the Spirit of Christ. You know, it's like taking something and putting clothes on it. If there is no clothes, it's naked. It is like covering it with the Spirit of Christ so that that function is entirely by the Spirit of Christ. That's the picture God wants you to understand. So pray for that. The Holy Spirit will do that inside of you. It is a supernatural work of Christ, of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. He will perfect it. You don't have to worry about how it's going to come about. You simply have to understand that every function in your being has to be clothed with Christ. It is the Holy Spirit who does that. You can't understand that intellectually. How God clothes us with Christ. You can't figure that out. But you need to understand that it needs to be clothed. It needs to be fully enabled. Yeah? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22, and gave him as head over all things to the church. Gave him as head over all things to the church. So the church has to realize all things with Jesus as the head. We are his body. Next verse. The fullness of him who fills all in all. He must fill all in all. How is he going to fill all in all? Through his Spirit. Are you with me? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah? It's an important passage. Yeah? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 3. Paul is writing that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. The mystery. And by referring to this, verse 4, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So the mystery is the mystery of Christ. Right? That means everything in this mystery has to be revealed in the Spirit of Christ. And he says, of this gospel I was made a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Why not the unfathomable riches of Jesus? Why Christ? Because the unfathomable riches are all in his Spirit. Do you understand that? When God talks about wealth, the wealth that he wants to give you, he has blueprinted that wealth in the Spirit of Christ. And he says in verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. King James Bible, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Administration talks about function. Fellowship talks about communion. Put the two words together, you find that through communion and function, the mystery is made alive. The mystery has the purpose of establishing a relationship, but that relationship is to result in a function. That there is a peculiar function for you. In all eternity, there is a peculiar function for you. There is a peculiar function for me. There is a peculiar function for all of us put together. The proper working of each part in the body of Christ. To bring to light, all right? I want to talk about to bring to light, all right? Keep your finger here on Ephesians 3. Just turn the next page to Ephesians chapter 5. To bring to light, verse 13. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. The question is, what light? For everything that becomes visible is light. In your light, we see light, the psalmist wrote, right? Psalm 36. In your light, we see light. For this reason it says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So the light comes out of Christ. It is manifested in his Spirit. Because Jesus in Matthew 6 talks about something called the light of darkness. The light of darkness that comes through the angel of light. But true light comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. Amen. So this is the light that God is talking about bringing forth in each one of us. So verse 15, 16, 17 are warnings to us. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You need to understand simply this. The will of the Father is that the Son be glorified. Simple. Anyone can understand this. You ask the Holy Spirit to make Jesus Christ preeminent in your heart. You pray for that every morning. If you are in ministry, you pray that every facet of your ministry will be developed in the preeminence of the Son. You ask the Holy Spirit to do that. I have asked God to do that, telling Him that if it's not going to be done like that, take away the ministry. Take me back. Because if Jesus is not going to be preeminent in my heart, I will die. I don't want that. My life would be wasted. I've wasted enough years. You also, I hope, have realized you have wasted many years. Tragedy is, some people think, no. And they continue the way they have always been. What a tragedy. All right, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to bring to light, Christ must shine in your heart. Christ must shine in every aspect of your life. How do you break the shackles of sin? By allowing Christ to shine. It is not based on trying your best. It is allowing Christ to come forth by the Spirit. That's why you have been given the gift of tongues, so that you can realize the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Through Christ, I can do all things. That's what Paul wrote. So how does Christ come to you? By the Holy Spirit. How is Christ worked into you? By the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is there to work Christ into you, what is your problem? You have none, except your willingness to work it through Christ. But so many of us will rather do it by ourselves. I don't know why. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God. From the time there has been rebellion in the heavenly places. There have been many ages, I think. In all of those ages, God has been waiting to manifest the mystery of Christ, to bring it to light. Today, you and I are the people that God has chosen. In the vastness, from the foundations of the creation to now, God has chosen you and me. In the context of the millions of years that have gone past, you and I are creatures of significance simply because God has willed to bring out of your life and my life, think about this, guys, out of your life and my life, this reality of Christ. Hello. I hope you can understand that. I hope you will hear that. You will not forget that. Which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Why did the ages go past? So that the lessons will be learned. The ages past was for the angels to understand what is the consequence of rebellion to God. Hello. So that the 2/3 of the angels that stood in the heavenly places before God can see the consequence of evil and how it manifests over the ages. And they saw age after age after age go by with destruction. And then God said, I will break that cycle of destruction by raising up a new creation in man. The first Adam became a life, became a living soul. Satan thought he had defeated God. But God manifested Jesus Christ, and Christ became a living spirit for us. And lo and behold, it became a whole new ball game. You and I are charged with one principal purpose, brethren, to reveal Christ. To bring up children in Christ. To speak Christ into their lives. to communicate Christ from generation to generation, to break the cycles of destruction, to have the faith, to pray with a faith that will preserve our generations before God in the excellence of Jesus Christ. Not by our works, but by trusting God in and through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Verse 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who are these rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? The angels that rebelled? And there are other angels that stand before God in the righteousness of God. But to all of them, God wanted to teach something. And he chose the church to teach it. You understand that? How is he going to teach it? He's going to teach it through the manifestation of the Spirit of Christ. He took us from the dirt of the earth. He breathed into us. He has invested each one of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. He has invested each one of us with the name of Jesus. He has chosen to develop the blueprint of the Spirit of Christ in each one of us. Do you understand? This is the church. The church is not about how well you keep the accounts, brother, or whether you have chandeliers in the church. We are so carnal. We are so pathetic. We are called to receive, realize, and express Christ. That's all. That's the church. And different parts of the church are challenging evil in different ways. The persecuted church is presenting Christ through much suffering and pain. We are called to present Christ in the integrity of our lives. And we are failing left, right, and center, guys. Simply because we have still not understood that we are supposed to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is at that fundamental point where we are missing out on. We think we can build a church by defining correct doctrine. Get me wrong, there is a place for correct doctrine, but you cannot build anything out of correct doctrine. You can only build something out of the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Others worship the Bible, but refuse to live Jesus. Just like the Jews, Jesus said in John chapter 5, you search the scriptures, you refuse to come to me. But the scriptures are all about me. I am the fulfillment of the scriptures. You don't want to come to me. You want to just hallow a book. You just want to boast of your scholarship. Nobody's going to live with your scholarship and my scholarship. You refuse to come to me. So you have a crucial position to play in your life, in the little universe that you occupy. Bring forth Christ. Faced with your many weaknesses, faced with your many inabilities, can you bring out Christ in your situation in some measure, and you would have lived your life in a worthwhile manner? There may be many areas you fail, but if you can bring something that will manifest the victory of Jesus Christ and you can demonstrate it through your life, it will crack the armor of darkness that is over this planet. Let the light of Christ shine. You know, if you look at your life, you have been through many tragedies, isn't it? Many disasters. You have made many silly decisions in your life. Made many silly choices. We've all done it in our own wonderful way, in our own super intelligent ways. Well, it's time to find some answers. The answers are in Christ. Can you bring out some answers before you go to be with the Lord? That's what it's all about. Can you present something out of your life that will shine in the Spirit of Christ? Because the Spirit of Christ speaks through the blood. So it says that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks. It speaks through your life and my life. Are we willing to present that before we go back to be with the Lord? Or are we going to present the muck of human carnality? Verse 11, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has accomplished something in Christ Jesus. It is blueprinted in his Spirit. It is to be brought out in his name. So you are charged with doing that in your life. You are charged to doing that in partnership with others in the church. In whatever it is, wherever it is God has called you, whether it's a simple situation or whether it's a complex situation, it doesn't matter. The question is, what is going to shine through your life before you go? You know, Nicky Gumbel, in his series on what do we do with our life, he said that if our life, the ambitions of our life is to have wealth, then we are a people who are very pitiful. That if that is the purpose of life, it is pitiful. It is pathetic. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, verse 11, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Access to God. What are you using that access to God for? What are you hoping to develop? So this is the spirit of excellence. Let me just read 2 Peter before we conclude. 2 Peter chapter 1. We have read through this passage several times in the past, but it's such a powerful passage. Verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Not just a bondservant, not just an apostle, but of Jesus Christ. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. How did you receive this same kind of faith? Through the Spirit of Christ. And he says that this is an act of God. This is the righteousness of God. So what is he trying to tell us? Brethren, nothing is impossible for us because we can receive a faith. By the righteousness of God, God is willing to perfect and complete in you the faith of Jesus Christ. Same kind of faith. And so he says, from this basis, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, once you have this blueprint of the Spirit of Christ being energized inside of you, being built inside of you, your growth potentials are infinite. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Granted to us. Where is everything pertaining to life and godliness defined? It is defined in the Spirit of Christ. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why? Because that was what he was going to be judged on. He was raised from the dead, Romans 1, 3 and 4 says. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Because the spirit within him was the spirit of holiness. And he was declared to be the Son of God. And we are sons of God on that basis, that we can receive his spirit. So his divine power has granted to us everything. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. By his own glory and excellence he has called us. So look at the Lord. Look at what he has accomplished. Don't look at yourself. And meditate on the litany of your weaknesses. You have been made complete in Christ. Put on the new self that has been created in God. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. He says, put on the new self that has been created in God. Pray in tongues. Oh Lord, bring forth the person I'm supposed to be. Bring forth my character and nature in conformance to Christ. Manifest in me the Spirit of Christ so that I will have the wisdom of the mind of Christ. Manifest in me the character and nature of Christ so that I will do things the right way. So that I can be different, Lord, and you can be pleased with me. So that I will bring pleasure to you because I shine with the fragrance of Jesus Christ. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. What is the word there? Granted. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. And that happens through Christ. So Christ has come to us as a life-giving spirit. God wants to supply you with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God wants to provide you with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is there to perfect and complete you in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible to you. And as you are strengthened through the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ, you will be enabled to do all things. Isn't that good news? Amen. So the person of the Holy Spirit is with you. He is in you. You don't have to go up to heaven to find the Holy Spirit. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to find the Holy Spirit. You only have to bow your heart, open your mouth, and pray in a tongue. And the mystery of Christ will be open to you. But the mystery of Christ is entirely tied to the realities that are in the scriptures. The trouble with a lot of us is we pray our own corrupt ideas in tongues, energizing the wrong things. What's wrong with the scriptures? Why don't you want to read the scriptures? Why don't you want the scriptures to be written into your heart? God has undertaken in these scriptures to write the scriptures into your heart by the finger of God. It is written, but nobody is interested. Everybody wants to do their own thing. We want to run our own ministries. We want to have our own ideas. We want to have everything that comes out of our brilliance. What a bunch of fools. We've not learned anything from our past. We are just keep on boasting about what we can do, brother, by my faith. So why is Jesus Christ called the author and finisher of your faith, brother? Why is Jesus Christ called the author and perfecter of your faith? Because you need his faith. David was a man after God's own heart because he understood that. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the spirit of excellence, the extraordinary spirit, the divine spirit that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have given us, O God, this extraordinary spirit, blueprinted in Christ, manifested in the name Jesus, to each one of us so that we can develop, O God, all that comes out of His Spirit, so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, so that we will be the head and not the tail, that we will be above and not beneath, that we will be blessed in every situation and circumstance, and the world around us will see us being blessed, even as those around Daniel recognized him to have an extraordinary spirit. They recognized him as having something that nobody else had. That Pharaoh himself looked at Joseph and he said, "You have something that nobody else has." Oh God, here we are, Lord, millions of us across the world, and we still have not heard. We are still not willing to listen and bring forth, oh God, that which you have given us in your precious Son. Forgive us, oh God, for the many times we have rejected him, Lord. And may we receive and realize a new light, the light of him, the radiance of the bright morning star, so that the darkness will be driven out of us and he will become preeminent in our hearts, so that we will function in the brilliance of our Savior, that we will function in the brilliance that is blueprinted in his Spirit, that we will learn how to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we will rely on the Holy Spirit to bring the Spirit of Christ into us, to work the Spirit of Christ into us, to perfect and complete the Spirit of Christ into us, into every function of our being, so that we will do all things, Lord, in your righteousness. Bless the church in this reality. May what you have spoken to us today live and grow in us with an understanding that comes from your heart, with a wisdom that flows from your heart, with an enabling power that comes in the resurrection of the Lamb, that we will understand that we are the peculiar people chosen to demonstrate that life comes only from you. That life that is real, life that is tangible, life that is a blessing, life that is eternal, life that is abiding, life that is full of promise, life that brings satisfaction, entirely flows in the spirit and life of Jesus. We pray that you will bless the church with this conviction and this confidence, so that although we are faced with many kinds of darkness in this world around us, we will shine with him who is the light of the world. That the light of his life will be manifested, will be built, and will be unveiled as a living radiance from each one of us. That the world around us will see that we are sons of God. That the world around us will see that we are overcomers. That the world around us will see that we have a testimony that is eternal and abiding. We have a testimony that is indestructible. We have the living God alive to us all of the time. Bless us, O God, in this reality, that we may manifest the fragrance of your Son and be fully acceptable to you on the basis of his merits, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.